Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
All for non-emergencies.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Quick Lane Tire and Auto Centers, servicing cars and trucks with factory-trained technicians at locations nationwide. Learn more at quicklane.com. And
the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And
Esurance, an Allstate company offering mobile apps and 24/7 help online or over the phone. Learn more at esurance.com. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Returns Department here at Car Talk Plaza. First of all, we want to wish all of our listeners happy holidays. You know, this is a joyous time of year because holidays mean what? Days off from work. Now, Berman used to be an atheist, but once he figured out he was getting cheated out of all these days off, he converted to three major religions. So now he takes off Christmas, Hanukkah, and Ramadan.
And don't forget New Year's. Yeah, we also would like to thank our staff today because we got a lovely gift from the whole staff. I have it right here. It's called a get-off-the-phone excuse machine. And it's designed to provide us with an alternative to asking, what color is that Taurus? This is a magnificent thing for when you're on the phone and you don't want to be.
For example, you're on the phone, you're talking to your mother-in-law, and you don't know how to make a delicate exit.
Exit.
And what happens? You ready?
Chinese food delivery.
Sorry, gotta go.
Gotta go.
Gotta go. The guy's here with the Chinese food. Or... oh, the baby's crying.
She says, you don't have a baby. Well, I do now.
Jeez, I think the building's on fire. See ya. What a...
does you get all these sounds? Give us a hold. Give us...
I'm losing you. Are you static on your end? What else do we have here? Oh, there's an accident right outside my door.
Yeah, sure.
Here's my favorite, though. Mrs. Well, look, if you want to hear an excuse from us, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
All right, save that right there.
Hello, you're, oh, don't worry. Hello, you're on CAR-TALK.
Hi, this is Jamie calling from Eugene, Oregon.
Hey, Jamie, what's going on?
Well, I'll tell you, I've got a 1989 Jeep Wagoneer, and my mechanic tells me that it is not worth my effort to fix what's wrong with my car. He figures it is a cracked head or a blown gasket. All right. Now, I talked to a buddy of mine, meanwhile, who likes to muck around with cars, and this guy has told me, hey, you know, when all else fails, here's what you want to do is pour some oatmeal in your radiator.
Oatmeal?
Oatmeal.
Is this
yeah.
like steel-cut oatmeal, or is this a regular, like, Quaker oats, you know?
This is why they pay you guys the big bucks. It didn't even occur to me. It didn't even occur to me to ask him what kind of oatmeal.
Yeah, because I think it's important to know. And do you put it in cooked or uncooked? In other words, do you let the hot coolant cook it, or
well,
do you...
what he says happens, and he claims he did this on a BMW 733i, and got 3 years use out of it.
Yeah, so your friend's theory is what? That the oatmeal...
Well, his theory is you put the oatmeal in, and you run the car, not, you know, you don't let it get too hot, but you let it heat up, and the oatmeal kind of circulates through the system, and it finds the, you know, whatever that crack is, whether it's a gasket or a cracked head, it finds that spot where the air is getting through into the, mm-hmm. into the system.
And fills it up.
Yeah, it gums it up. And then you turn the car off, and you let it cool. Then you turn it on again, let it heat up again, let the oatmeal cook a little more, lays a second layer on, turn it off. You know, you repeat that a couple more times, and
yeah.
there you've got a gasket-quality seal.
Well, you know,
I like it.
I knew you would.
And he may be right on. I mean, there are lots of commercial products
that do that,
that purport to do exactly this.
Uh-huh.
And I think if you looked at any of those,
they look
might
like
oatmeal. Yeah.
Well,
they might even say ingredients.
I got to ask you, are they organic?
Are they organic? I don't know.
They may not be.
For years and years, we had a fellow that came into our shop 100 years ago when we first opened our do-it-yourself shop.
Right.
And he had a crack on the side of his block that was about 4 inches long. And I remember looking at this thing. As fast as he put coolant in, it leaked out on the garage floor. And
yeah.
I said, oh, you're done for. And he said, I can't be done for. I haven't got any money to fix it. What can I try? So at the time, we had this stuff called Porter Seal, which
uh-huh.
may still be on the market.
I'll bet it still is.
And it was used for fixing boilers in, like, steamships, you know, that had cracked. So we went ahead and we sold him every can of Porter Seal that we had. We sold him about 10 cans.
Right.
He thus
sealing up the pavement.
Well, yeah. the container says, don't use more than one. So he mixes 3 cans of this stuff with water. Because at this point, he had stopped putting antifreeze in. What
sure.
was the sense?
With water.
And he pours it in, and he runs the engine while he's doing this. And little by little,
yep.
the leak slows down. So, encouraged by this, he buys 3 more cans, mixes them with 1 gallon of water, and he repeats this process and continues to do this until, in fact, the leak
stops.
Completely stops. And I remember seeing him months later driving the car, and I asked him, I said, how's it working? He said, couldn't be better. So why not, Jamie? Go for it.
All right.
But you might want to try one of the real products, but, you know, you might want to try the oatmeal.
Well, I mean, the oatmeal makes a better story, yeah.
The oatmeal makes it. If you said to somebody, oh, yeah, I put a can of Porter Seal in, they'd say, yeah, of course. You expected that to work.
Uh-huh.
But the oatmeal would be a real story.
I would try the oatmeal first. Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
Let us know.
And you know what? I like maple syrup on my oatmeal. I think your engine may like that, too.
Maybe slice a couple bananas on top of it, too.
So you're not really banking on this working, are you?
Well, No. I mean, in fact, I'm at the point where I'm ready to just completely get rid of the car. And I thought, well, maybe oatmeal would be a last resort.
Well, you know,
I figure I've had the car; it's got 185 miles on it. I've had it for like 8 years, and I figure the car it doesn't really owe me anything at this point.
Yeah, but don't give up, because if the oatmeal doesn't work, something like Porter Seal, which is still on the market, something will be on the market. One of those is likely to work.
Well, isn't it liberating to have a car that you don't care about? I mean, we could never condone this kind of a treatment for someone that had like a 2004 Lexus.
Oh, yeah, with payments on it.
Yeah,
right,
right.
Say, well,
exactly.
No, you need to pull the cylinder heads and send them out to the machine shop, have them pressure tested.
No.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah,
sure.
and this may not be a permanent solution. This may only work for 6 years or so. But,
let us know if the oatmeal works.
All right, I'll keep you posted.
Give it a shot. Good luck, Jamie.
All right, thanks.
It's important to be able to pass these things on.
It's folklore.
It's folklore, and if it works, man, it's great.
Yeah. And if it doesn't, who cares?
Who cares?
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Nancy from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Hi, Nancy from Knoxville.
Knoxville.
What's up?
I have a 94 Volvo 960, and when I'm going over about 40 miles an hour, it starts making the most bizarre noise when I accelerate. When I put my foot on the gas pedal,
mm-hmm.
it sounds like, you know, when you are closing up one of those huge Tupperware containers, like the 50-gallon ones.
I don't have any 50-gallon Tupperware containers, but I'll take your word for it. What do you think it sounds like?
What kind of a sound
it's like,
is that? Wait. If I had this 50-gallon Tupperware thing,
what would I put in it?
I have a purse collection I've put in it, so...
this would be the sound you would get when you put the cover on the Tupperware,
yes.
or off?
On.
Oh, as the air is escaping?
No, it sounds like the noise of, like, heavy plastic that's sealing.
Sealing something.
Okay, I got it. So it's the interaction of the two pieces of plastic, one from the lid and the other from the vessel.
Correct.
So it's that...
Correct.
And it makes this noise...
When I'm accelerating, and it's usually over 35 miles an hour.
And if you go faster, is the noise faster?
Yes, and it also makes that noise when I take my foot off the gas pedal.
So it pretty much makes the noise all the time unless you're in the house watching television. Is that about it?
And she's going more than 35 miles an hour.
Yes.
Yeah. But you said when you take your foot off the gas, when you go below 35 miles an hour, does the sound go away?
Yes. Most of the time, yes. And I've tried to see if there is a correlation between that and the number of RPMs.
Yeah.
And it's usually, you know, around 2,000 RPMs over 35 miles an hour.
Have you ever tried getting it up to, say, 40 miles an hour or even faster and putting it into neutral and coasting, let the engine speed drop down?
No. Well,
okay.
I didn't know you could do that.
Well, you shouldn't, but you could. And does
you should be doing all these things before you waste our time calling us.
Be nice.
Does it change at all with wet weather?
I haven't noticed a relationship between that. No.
Okay. Does it? Let me see. What color is this Volvo?
It's navy blue. It's got a.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Nancy, we gotta run.
We gotta run.
You behave.
Here's what I think it is.
Okay.
Your car is a rear wheel drive car, and as such, it has a two piece drive shaft.
Okay.
I'm gonna guess that this noise seems to be coming, at least, from right under the middle of the car. Is that true?
It seems to be coming from the passenger side of the car.
Oh, okay. Then I'm gonna take back what I was about to say.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, I think you may have a bad wheel bearing.
A bad wheel bearing?
Yeah.
Okay.
A bad wheel bearing would, in fact, begin to make noise, and it would increase in frequency as you sped up. So it would start off at 35 miles an hour, like, whoop, whoop, whoop. And then by the time you hit 50, it might be, whoa, 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 whoa.
Is that true?
Well, it's related to whenever I put the gas, push the gas pedal, because it'll go, and then it'll stop.
When you take your foot off the gas pedal, it stops, or as your foot is still on the gas pedal?
Still on the gas pedal.
Oh, so if you stop accelerating.
Correct.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that Chinese food better come any minute. And it sounds like, actually? It could be.
What?
This is crazy.
This is crazy.
But it's, didn't I say that? It sounds like it could be something as simple as an exhaust leak.
An exhaust leak?
And the way you're going to find this out...
This is easy to find.
There are lots of... If you wanted to find it out yourself...
Okay.
That's hard to do.
you could take one of those Prada purses that you're putting in these Tupperware things, and you could put one over the tailpipe and plug it up. And if you were to do that, before the purse melted, you might hear the noise coming out from where the leak, in fact, is.
Yeah.
Oh.
Don't you get it when you first take off from a stop, too?
She said over 35 miles
an
hour.
Yeah, it's usually over 35.
That's I don't like that. I don't like the.
I'm beginning to dislike the exhaust leak too. All right, forget about the pocketbook.
Okay. So does it sound?
Well, it's still. Let's go back. It certainly could be a wheel bearing.
Okay.
Or maybe a wheel's falling off. But I would take it into some place because it sounds like it could be serious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It does. Serious.
Especially if it's a wheel bearing.
Okay. All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, Nancy.
Bye.
This is the kind of problem that you used to get me to hang on the hood, strapped across the hood.
I know. Where have you been? We've been calling you. You haven't been coming in.
Yeah.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Tom from Hardin, Montana.
Hi, Tom. What's going on, man?
Well, I got a 94 F-150 that puts its own brakes on. It's kind of intermittent, and it seems like when the weather turns cold, just right when you start the engine up, then the brakes, without even touching them, they just go all the way down and lock up.
What do you mean go all the way down?
Just like
see, we have a bad connection, Tom.
Wait a minute, we got a connection here. A connection problem.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, just like when you put your own brakes on, when you push it down with your foot, only the foot's not on the pedal at all.
Right.
And the pedal actually moves?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, if you put your foot under it, you can pull it back up and
wait,
and then
the pedal moves downward by itself?
All by itself, yeah. Yeah, I know at first it's been intermittent. Like about a year ago, it started happening. But then when you if you tap the brake like anticipating a stop coming,
yeah,
then it would do it. And the first time it happened, it really scared me because it just locked up the brakes and I slid to a stop.
Yeah.
So this has been going on for a while, and have you had anyone look at it and make a suggestion about what might be wrong with it? Because we have a few.
No, I hardly drive the truck.
Understandable.
And, yeah.
And you've just been living with it.
What I did is I disconnected the vacuum hose to see what that would do.
The vacuum hose that runs from the manifold to the booster.
That's right, yeah.
And? Yeah, that should help.
And it doesn't do it now.
So you need to replace the booster.
That's what's doing it, huh?
That's what's doing it.
Yeah, the booster has a spring in there that's supposed to return the diaphragm so that the diaphragm doesn't put pressure on the master cylinder plunger unless you initiate it by stepping on the brake.
Uh-huh.
And my guess is that the spring is broken, so whether you're touching the brake or not, there's enough vacuum that's able to suck that diaphragm forward, and in doing so, it applies pressure to the master cylinder, and it's pulling the brake pedal lever along with it.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to fix this, but it's a fairly easy job. Fortunately, you have a pickup truck, and there's plenty of room both under the dash and under the hood.
Yeah.
So I think if you this is a job that's certainly within your grasp. You can go to your local parts store and buy yourself a vacuum booster and just stick it in. It's a bunch of bolts.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
It's real easy. Yeah, you'll be.
And it'll be a lot easier to drive when you fix it.
Yeah.
Good luck, man.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for your call, Tom. Bye-bye. All right, let me start out by saying that I don't expect you to remember last week's puzzler.
You don't?
No.
Well, I mean, why? Ah, I know. There was no puzzle last week.
No, there was a puzzle last
oh,
week.
Oh, there was.
But it concerned a concept that you are completely unable to grasp.
What's that like? Work?
Close. No, fashion.
Fashion? Oh, contraire, piston puss. I happen to be quite a fashion plate.
Oh, yeah. Dog dish is more like it. Anyway, I'll have the whole story, which actually involves a World War I and aeronautics in just a minute. So don't go away.
We'll be right back.
Moving through the snow in a suit of Model A. Over the fields we go.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from our Click and Clack holiday pageant, featuring the seven greasy elves and Vito the very red-nosed Santa, from NPR, NPR member stations, and
the Healthy Back Store, offering the Car Cush seat support and other travel and back care products. Learn more at healthyback.com. And
the Doris Duke Foundation for Islamic Art, seeking to improve Americans' understanding of Muslim arts and cultures. And
the Union of Concerned Scientists, putting science to work for a healthy environment and a safer world. More at ucsusa.org.
And even though Charles Darwin says, time to rethink that theory whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members, from Patty Carter, Sue Chilton, Eve Stewart, and Stephen Carr of Zeitlin & Company Realtors, professionalism in real estate service. Information is at ZeitlinRealtors.com. And support comes from the Bridgestone Americas Trust Fund, dedicated to improving the lives of children in Middle Tennessee and across the Americas by supporting programs that promote education and the welfare of children. You can support Nashville Public Radio with a tax-deductible year-end donation of your used vehicle. Information on our vehicle donation plan is online at WPLN.org.
Thank you.
we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this puzzler was sent in recently, well, actually about 6 years ago, by someone named Patrick Mooney.
I actually remember this puzzler.
Anyway, the puzzler went something like this.
Go ahead.
Somewhere around 1912 or 13 or so, aviation began to really catch on in Europe. It didn't catch on earlier because there were no airplanes before that, you know. And it just so happened that these newly popular airplanes and pilots were soon going to be put to use in World War I. So it was a good thing that it was catching on.
Yeah.
Now, the legend goes that it was around that time that the soon-to-be-famous pilot, Friedrich Schwingenreiter, started wearing a very long silk scarf that the lovely Fräulein Blücher had made for him. Now, Friedrich was a well-known man about town. He was known for his foppish flying duds and was a popular figure at the local beef and strudel house. But as stylish as it was, that long scarf was not worn for fashion reasons. So the question was, why did Friedrich wear that scarf and why was it so long? Well, it wasn't just Friedrich who wore a scarf like that. Every pilot eventually wore one.
Really?
Yes, they did. It wasn't just Friedrich Schwingenreiter.
I've heard of him, of course. I mean, hasn't everybody?
Well, back then, all those engines that were on those early planes were two-cycle engines. And just like your weed whacker or your chainsaw, they had to mix the gasoline and the oil. And the oil of choice then was castor oil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And, of course, the pilot sat right behind the engine. Okay, and the exhaust fumes laden with that castor would blow in his face, and you wouldn't be, when you landed the plane, you'd have to make a mad dash to the outhouse, because castor, as we know, is a pretty good laxative. So the scarf was extra long so that as he flew and it got saturated, you'd pull on the short end and keep exposing a new section, and it would be basically a filter.
And they put it over their mouths.
Over their mouths. And they could wipe off their goggles with it and then put it over their mouths so the castor oil wouldn't go down their stomachs. And that's why Fräulein Blücher became famous as the...
that's what I need for my MG.
You need more than the scarf. Anyway, do we have a winner?
We certainly do.
Now, this may be complete baloney, but I believe it to be true. And whatever it's true or not, it's a hell of a good story.
Our winner this week is Ben Poole from Omaha, Nebraska, and for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Ben is going to get from us a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, whoopee, where he can choose...
Hey!
Well, it sounds like a lot. He's going to get $26, but he's not. He's going to get a $26 gift certificate. And it's a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division of CarTalk.com.
You'd be surprised. What
the hell kind of a gift is that?
I don't know. I thought it was pretty good, actually.
Well,
Ben, you can choose from a wide selection of post-holiday returns. Cheer up. Anyway, we have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so don't wrench off that dial just yet. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julie from Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
Julie.
I'm great. How are you doing?
Great. What's going on?
Well, I have a problem with my husband and his inability to use the emergency brake when he parks our car in the garage.
Inability or unwillingness?
Unwillingness.
Wait, this only happens when he parks in the garage?
Well, no, it happens everywhere, but this time he totaled the car because of it.
Give us all the gory details.
Oh, yeah. He about a week ago, he came home from work and pulled into the garage, got out of the car, and shut the door, which created just enough momentum to start the car rolling. It rolled out of the garage, down the driveway, across the street, between two trees, down a huge embankment onto the Jamaica Way, across two lanes of the northbound traffic, which there was no traffic, thank goodness, hit the median and went airborne and crashed on the other side.
Oh, did it go into the Arnold Arboretum and destroy the bonsai collection that they've had there for 500 years? No.
And
yeah.
It didn't go in the pond either.
No. Luckily, we missed all of that.
Wait a minute. Now, what kind of a car is this?
It was a 2002 Volkswagen Passat.
Oh, it was.
Manual. Yeah, it was.
And he leaves it in neutral as well?
Oh, yeah. Yes. So my dilemma is we have to buy a new car, and I want to know, is there any way to guarantee that he cannot do this again?
Yeah. You have to buy an automatic transmission car.
So there's no way, even if he forgets to put the emergency brake up.
Well, that's not entirely true, because okay. He may take to leaving the key in the ignition and leaving it neutral. He can do that if
you
he
can?
Wants. You can. Well, you might leave the car running.
Does he do this purposely, or does he actually forget?
He doesn't really think that putting the emergency brake up is needed.
Well, what about putting it in gear?
That he normally does. The thing is, this is the second time he's done this. He just tends to not, sometimes he'll forget to put it in gear.
Is he one of these geniuses that forgets things because he's working on the
firmats?
Is he on the new prime numbers or anything?
Yeah, he's actually an MD PhD, so he's a big scientist guy.
So he needs somebody to look after him. He's just absent-minded.
Yes, he thought that putting a big sign in the garage just saying, did you put the emergency brake up, was sufficient. I think we have to have an automatic transmission.
I think that's so, too, because he won't be able... He obviously is in the habit of removing the key from the car.
Yes.
And in order to do that with an automatic, you must put it in park.
Right.
And otherwise, you can't get the key out.
Aha.
So if you have... That's your only hope for this guy.
Yeah, well, see, his argument was that they're not fun to drive. And I said, we can't have fun anymore.
Oh, and then
you used it all up.
Here's the other thing you need to do. His car key and the house key have to be on the same ring.
So
that he can't leave the car key behind.
All right.
He must extract both keys to open the front door to the house. Otherwise, he has to sleep in the car.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure he has many other fine qualities, and especially his brain.
He does.
Except not all parts of it are working.
I know.
But you can't have everything.
But I'm still confused about the fact that when he pulled into the garage, he took it out of gear and put it into neutral. Why did he do that? Or does he not even know that?
I don't even think he really thought about what he was doing. He was probably listening to NPR, one of those... radio moments.
One of those cerebral shows. It's clearly not ours.
Right. It was in the evening. I think he was listening to the radio and stopped for a few minutes, put it in neutral so he didn't have to turn the car, not thinking about
that
it.
That damn all things considered, man. That'll throw you right off. Oh, boy. Well, I think the automatic is the only hope you got.
Oh, thank you. See, I just wanted somebody to back me up on that.
Well,
one.
Thank goodness his runaway car didn't wipe out the bonsai collection at the Arboretum.
I know.
Or hurt anybody,
Yeah, he was very, very lucky.
Yeah, believe me. Everyone saw the car flying through the air and stopped. So it was quite a spectacle. And then to see my husband racing across four lanes to chase after it. Because, of course, he left his briefcase in there, and that was, I got to get my briefcase out.
Did he dive in after the briefcase? Oh, God. Well, all's well that ends well.
Oh, yes.
Let us know what you get for a new car.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you so much for siding with me. This is
going to
make
absolutely.
My day.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this guy's dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, well, slightly.
just slightly, huh?
See you, Julie.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
888 Car Talk. That's 888.
Aren't our wives lucky that they don't have genius husbands?
Oh, yeah. 227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Lucho Ferlito from Grand Junction in Colorado.
Oh, jeez. Do you have a nickname?
You're already laughing. I didn't tell you anything yet.
No, because we know we're not going to understand the word you say.
Let's start with the first name.
Okay, no, it's Italian. Nuccio. N-U-C-C-I-O.
Oh, and Nuccio.
Nuccio. Very good. You must be Italian.
We are.
Yeah, you can tell by our names.
What's your last name?
Ferlito.
Ferlito.
Ferlito. Ferlito.
And where are you from, Colorado?
Well, I come from Santa Rosa, California, and I moved to Grand Junction at the beginning of June. And my wife is moving at the end of December.
And what, how did you wind up in Grand Junction, and what are you doing there?
I am the sales and service manager for the downtown branch of U.S. Bank.
Ah.
And, it's a long story. We were trying to improve our financial situation so far hasn't worked.
You know, if you're going to try to improve your financial situation, working at a bank is good because that's where the money is.
We only count it.
Oh, you only count it. Oh. I know, but you know, things happen, Nuncho. I mean, stuff, money falls on the floor, and, you know, who knows?
Yeah, well, the first thing that happened, the house in California didn't sell, so we have two mortgages instead of one now.
Oh, that's a problem. Well, that'll sell eventually.
And the other bad thing is that Grand Junction does not have an Acura dealer.
Oh.
It's 4 hours away in Denver.
Oh.
I have an Acura TL 2005.
Okay.
And at the end of June, I had to go to Denver for training, and I parked my car in Grand Junction on the other side of the street. There was an empty parking lot. There was a nice tree since it gets very hot here. I parked my car there so I would stay in the shade for at least half of the day. And when I went to get my car at 1 o'clock, actually, I'll do you the test this time. I'm not going to tell you what happened. You're going to tell me what happened. I, after a few minutes, I'll tell you why it took me a few minutes. I went into the car, I turned the key, and the VSA, you know, the vehicle assistance, the electronic control of the car, light went on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ABS light went on,
mm-hmm.
and then the check engine light went on. And after about an hour of tries, nobody would put their hands on an Acura TL 2005, so I had to drive basically... are we recorded by the police in this show?
No, not like that we know of.
95 miles an hour to Denver because I needed to be there by 6 o'clock before the Acura dealer closes, and it was already 2.
Ah, I see.
And when
We are monitored, however, by Homeland Security.
Good. I can say goodbye to my license.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when I got there, they plugged the computer in under the dash,
mm-hmm.
yep.
and the guy asked me, do you park your car outside at night? Do you have critters around? Because the only time I get no signal is when some critters have chewed up the wires.
Ah.
And I said, no, I park inside the garage. We don't have any mice, anything. And then I remember that when I went to get the car, I saw a squirrel, a red squirrel, come down the tree.
Uh-huh.
Sure enough, they popped the hood, and the lining was chewed up, the cover of the engine was chewed up, and the piece they changed was like $4.75, but it cost me $400 of labor.
Because this squirrel was under your hood.
Yes.
Chewing on part of the wiring harness.
Yes.
So now you want to kill that squirrel? Is that
No, I'm tempted to trap him and move it to the mountains. I know where he lives. So my question that I've been asking around and I'm going to ask you guys was,
how
is there any way that I can proof the car against
squirrel
animals,
proof the car.
Squirrels?
Yeah.
Because, you see, the insurance company did not want to pay for anything. They said that they would pay if I hit an animal driving, and I tried to convince them that I ran over the squirrel, and while he was dying for revenge, he chewed up the wires.
I agree, of course.
Nice
they
try.
Didn't believe it. I ran him over. He was thrown inside the trunk.
And he was angry. He was angry, of course.
He chewed up the wires. No, they didn't believe it.
They didn't
me.
Go
so
for that, huh?
I couldn't. So chicken wire or something, and they say, no, there's no way you can close the bottom of the car.
No, you can't close it in. All you can do is try to apply underneath the hood something that squirrels don't like. And there are lots of things that you can probably get in a store that caters to farming and whatnot, you know, because, you know, like Agway, one of those stores, like some kind of a squirrel repellent.
Because if I put a few mouse traps in there and I forget to tell the mechanic, he won't be very happy
when he hangs under
and gets a trap on his fingers, right?
No, we've always tried, isn't there stuff called bitter apple, which I know one of my neighbors tried because he had built a gazebo out of cedar, and the squirrels ate it because they like cedar.
Okay.
Another thing that could be used, I've heard about, is fox urine.
Fox urine.
Yes, yeah.
Really?
Because the squirrel should be afraid of the fox.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or I can just buy a fox pet and keep it in the car.
Maybe a picture of a fox. Yeah.
Picture of the recording.
So what were the first words when they told you that a squirrel had eaten your wires never mind.
Never mind.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it. Why would he like the flavor of the cables or what? Why did he chew them?
Well, you know, I'll tell you why.
Nuccio, we are not people who understand animals. We know cars.
Okay.
So I think you have to go to a veterinarian.
Okay.
Which we are not.
But I think the squirrel was looking to increase the size of its nut storing area. And the wire must have been in the way. And he said, let me chew on this so there'll be more room to store the acorns. I think that was it. And the squirrel didn't know. If he had known, he would have chosen to chew a cheaper wire.
Well, it's also true that there was the only car in the lot.
Yeah, you don't have squirrels in Italy, huh?
Well, yes, in the mountains.
Where are you from?
Well, my family is from Sicily, but I come from northern Italy, a place called Bergamo, 30 miles northeast of Milan.
I was going to you sounded Milanese to me. I was going to say you're from.
Well, I'm from Bergamo, but you know, there's no danger in Italy. Hunters have killed everything. There's no chance of bookkeepers going under the hood and chew your wife.
Well, a pleasure, Nuccio.
Well, thank you very much, guys. I love your show.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Okay, we have a little break coming up here, I think.
Actually, I have a question for you. Look, I don't want to, what's the word I'm looking for? It starts with a B and ends with an H.
Complain?
That's it. I don't want to complain. But why are we working? Why today? I mean, we have seniority. We've been doing this show for 100 years. Whose idea was it to have us work this weekend? Shouldn't we be home with our wives and our kids?
Actually, it was their idea. Our wives and kids, that isn't. And by the way, they signed us up for next weekend, too.
Great.
Stay tuned, because we'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute.
On the seventh day of car talk, my brother gave to me seven Hondas trending, six Jeeps a cane, five.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from the federal money we got by declaring my beard a Superfund site, from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Esurance, offering mobile apps that let users submit accident claims at the scene. More at esurance.com. And
the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation,
supporting research on how social factors like housing and jobs affect health.
Learn more at rwjf.org.
And Tire Rack, whose tire and wheel specialists offer advice about tires for various vehicles, driving styles, and roads. TireRack.com.
And even though Corey Flintoff wishes that he'd followed his heart and gone into the poultry business, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Thank you.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
The Puzzler better be good, because we haven't given out an answer for an entire hour here. So this better...
Hey.
This better be a whoop-doozle.
Well, go ahead. Last week, we had just finished the show, and Tommy and I were leaving the building, and we were walking by the vending machines in the lobby, the official NPR sanctioned vending machine, you know, granola bars and the like.
Yeah.
And I had a hankering for a candy bar, and I reached into my pocket, and luckily I have a dollar bill. You know, all these machines take bills,
credit cards,
swipe your card.
It's getting serious now.
And as I approached the machine with my crisp dollar bill, I noticed the thing says exact change only.
Mm.
And the candy bar I want is 95 cents. And you think the machine would say,
what the heck?
We'll take your
we'll
dollar.
Take the buck.
But it can't do that. So I don't have any change. And I turn to Tommy and I say, can you break a dollar? And he reaches into his pocket and he says, let me see here. I have 6 coins. And in fact, the 6 coins add up to $1.15.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I can give you change. But wait a minute. I can't give you change for a dollar. And I say, oh, you can't. Well, can you make change for half a dollar? Tommy says, no. Can you make change for a quarter? No, I can't do that either. How about a dime? Can you do that? No. Can you make change for a nickel? No. Well, buy me the candy bar.
Can't do that
and
either.
And I can't do that either, you say.
Hmm.
The question is...
How many coins did I have? 6 coins?
6 coins.
Yeah.
They happen to add up to $1.15. But you can't make change for a buck... A half a buck, a quarter, a dime, or a nickel. What good are you? And you can't buy me a 95-cent candy bar with the coins that you have in your pocket.
What were the 6 coins in my pocket? That's the question.
There you go. Now,
I guess just look. Hold on a second.
These are the same coins from last week.
I never spend any money. Here it is. 1, 2, 3, 4. I only got 5 coins left. They're all nickels.
There you go. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or the back of a $26 bill. We'll have change for that. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But if you have a question right now, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-CAR-TALK. Or 227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lisa from Canton, Ohio.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Is that just the plain old L-I-S-A, and it's not like L-E-E-E-E-S-S-A?
Oh, no, it's nothing fancy. It's plain old.
Yeah, so what's up, Lisa?
I have a 1984 Nissan Quest.
84? Did they make that way back in
94.
You mean 94?
No, I'm sorry, 94.
That's better.
94. I'm just so excited. I'm talking to my new best friend.
So am I.
There's an intermittent gas fume problem, and it's only been going on for about 3 or 4 months. I've had it into the dealership, and I've had it into the local mechanic, both of whom have said my gas cap wasn't tight enough.
Nah.
But you can torque that gas cap down there, and it's still, you're getting those fumes.
And you said it's intermittent, but
it's intermittent.
Have you noticed any pattern at all? Like, does it happen when you first get in the car in the morning? Does it happen at night? Does it happen after you've filled up with gas?
No, actually, it happens. It's worse when it's cold, but you notice it the most, like, if you turn the heater or the air conditioner on.
Aha!
And it starts blowing.
Aha!
Through.
Very good.
Aha!
Uh-oh.
Are you all right?
Spilled my coffee on my pants. Oh. Well, it isn't the gas. First of all, if they thought it was the gas cap, why didn't they just put a new one on there?
Yeah,
I mean, come on. For $6, you're going to say, well, let's try to tighten it more. Now you put a new one on there.
Yeah.
And if it's coming from the front, the gas cap is not in the front.
And the reason they haven't found it is they haven't been able to duplicate the circumstances because they don't have the engine cold. You're most likely to get it when you first get in there in the morning, mm-hmm. and you start the thing up and you turn on the defroster and you say,
what's that?
I smell gas.
Yes.
And by the time you drive to the dealership or whatever,
it's gone.
The engine is warmed up and the smell is gone.
Right.
What I think is wrong with it, and they're going to find it by keeping the thing overnight.
Uh-huh.
Outside.
Uh-huh.
And then using their emissions tester to check for the presence of unburned hydrocarbons.
Okay.
And they're going to check the 6 injectors. You have a leaky injector.
Ah.
One of the injectors, when it's cold, because it's all contracted, is causing gasoline. It may be something as simple as a loose clamp, but it could easily be the injector body that's leaking.
Okay.
And it's leaking onto the manifold. Doesn't leak much. A drop here or a drop there. It evaporates. And it comes right into your ventilation system.
Because it's under pressure.
Okay.
So when you're sitting there at home watching TV, that pressure is pushing on this little thing that's going
to
leak.
Well, and as soon as you start the thing up, the electric pump starts supplying, 60 pounds of pressure or whatever to the injectors.
Mm-hmm.
And any small leak that's there is going to cause the smell. And it only takes one little drop of gasoline to make a tremendous smell. And then once the thing heats up and it expands, the smell goes away. What they've got to do is start the thing up and sniff each injector with the emissions tester, and they're going to see one of them yield a big spike. The hydrocarbons are going to go up to the moon, and they need to either tighten the clamp or maybe replace that injector.
Okay.
Easy, huh?
Yeah, really.
That's the one right answer for the week, and you got it, Lisa.
You got it. Da, 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 da.
Okay.
See you, Lisa.
Hey, Lisa. Thanks a million for calling.
Oh, thank you so much for helping me.
Of course.
You bet.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mark from Hancock, New York.
Hancock, New York.
In the foothills of the Catskills. And I am an organic farmer in the foothills of the Catskills.
That's good. What do you grow?
Anything that goes in a salad. Lettuce. Lots of lettuce, and I pay my car bills with lots of lettuce.
Yeah. And you must have a question about your manure spreader, because we know you use a lot of that.
Yes, I do, but I don't have a question about my manure spreader. I have a question about my 1982 Suburban with a 250,000 miles on it that I am entirely dependent on trucking my vegetables to New York City in, and it's got a problem.
We'll fix it.
Okay. Well, I don't think you will, but you'll help me.
We'll fix anything.
All right. Well, we'll
except
see what's
a broken heart.
We have a problem with the body. My mechanic says that because my drivetrain is intact, and I've replaced everything in the car except the body and the drivetrain, that I should look for a Suburban with a shot drivetrain but a good body and do a full body transplant.
My sister-in-law's been trying to do that with her husband for quite a while.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not bad.
Have you done that before?
I don't think you're going to find one.
But there's a lot of years to choose from.
Well,
I mean, there was 1982. I think 1982, they didn't change the body for a long time.
You got 20 years to choose from, probably.
So this is not a bad idea yet.
Oh, no.
It's not a bad idea.
Oh, it stinks.
Oh, no, it's good. Except you're not going to find one.
Even if you were to find one, would you want to spend the money to extract the drivetrain from that vehicle and then, a month later, have your transmission conk out?
Well, I wouldn't want that, but I don't want to touch my drivetrain. I want to leave my drivetrain alone and throw the body away.
Well, yeah. What's so sacrosanct about your drivetrain? First of all, you're operating on luck at this point.
A wing and a prayer.
A wing and a prayer. I mean, the fact that
and
it hasn't broken down is a miracle.
I've gone 200 times round trip to New York without fail.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, if I had a Suburban...
Yeah.
That was in great shape, except it needed an engine. Would I just take it to the junkyard and throw it away? No, because I would go and I would spend $1,000 or whatever it is, and I would throw an engine in it.
I guess I'm looking for the Suburban that lost its transmission and its differential.
Yeah, that's why I said you're never going to find one. You want one that's got no engine, no transmission, and no differential.
Well, alternatively, I mean, it may sound wacko, but you might be able to fix the frame on yours.
Well, my I asked my mechanic if he thought I could do it because he's done the welding on it before.
Oh.
And he said,
no.
It might be $5,000 later. He seems to think it's entirely shot.
I think the thing to do is you go to a junkyard and you get the closest thing you can. You try to find a Suburban that has one of those three components, no good.
But you can't buy it from Hancock, New York junkyards because it's going to be as rusted as yours.
Yeah.
This is going to call for a vacation to Florida.
So this might be a good idea if I was lucky enough to find the body, but I probably won't find the body.
Well, you don't have to do it yourself. I mean, you can go to your buddies at the local junkyard/auto recycling center and tell them what you're looking for.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And they will put it out on the network.
Cool.
Junkyards have a network.
Yeah, they send up smoke signals. The grease they burn, they send up signals.
The tires that are still on fire.
Yeah.
And somebody will answer saying, I've got such and such and I want $2,000 for it. Someone else will say, mine is in better shape, blah, 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 blah. And then you can just go around on the train and look at the three or four that sound good to you. I think it's worth a shot.
Well, look, when do you start your seedlings?
My wife starts the seedlings in March. I don't have to get to work until April.
All right. So
you've got 5 months.
You've got at least three months after the holidays.
Yeah.
You've got three full months.
Right.
To go down south. I'd go for Mardi Gras and the whole bit. I mean, might as well have some fun, right?
I can see Mark now saying, hun, I am going in quest. I'm going on the quest for the body of a Suburban.
You're telling me that you grow...
lettuce.
Organic lettuce.
Mostly lettuce.
And,
correct.
And you subsist on driving a Suburban-sized vehicle from your farm to New York City periodically.
I go down every Tuesday for 26 weeks from the first week in June to Thanksgiving.
Okay, so for once a week driving to New York with a truck full of lettuce.
1,000 pounds.
1,000 pounds of lettuce.
I repeat, a truck full of lettuce. You manage to make a living on that.
I do.
What are you bringing back when you come?
Cuban cigars.
Cuban cigars.
I knew it. He makes nothing on the lettuce. Hey, Mark, best of luck to you.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate your
And send us a postcard from Mardi Gras, will you?
Most definitely.
He's making the reservation now, I can tell.
He's got nothing to do.
I mean, why not, right?
From Thanksgiving to April.
Yeah, that's a tough racket, huh?
Jeez. And they say farmers aren't making it.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm the waiver from Appalachia, Ohio.
The waiver?
Yes. I understand that my husband called about me
waving. Oh, yes, we spoke to your husband last week. Dave, right?
Oh.
Yes, he's the one.
What's your name?
My name is Jan.
Jan, and I should remind everyone who maybe wasn't listening last week that Dave called us because his wife Jan is a waver. He said
waves at everybody.
Said you're a cute blonde, and as you drive down the street, all these people coming the other way are blowing their horns, and you're waving at everyone and saying hi, how are you? And you're careening around turns, and the poor guy is scared to death.
Well, I was just saying, you know, I grew up on gravel roads, and I know how to drive on gravel roads, and you know, it's when he drives it, you know, makes me have white knuckles. But you know, this is when I lived in North Dakota, it was kind of training ground for me. You know, up there it was a straight shot through, and I could do my nails and makeup and read a book. So you know, when we came down here to Appalachia, Ohio, you know, of course the roads are quite different. So. I just find that I can do more multitasking and still be safe. You know, it's basically a road etiquette versus safety. And he's only on the safety side. I can do both.
Right. We did sympathize with you. In fact, if you spoke to him about it, we did mention that we thought he was overreacting a bit, and that the proof is that you've been doing this for years and you haven't crashed yet.
No, not at all.
Yeah, we thought he was being a little bit, we thought he should take a pill.
Well, yeah, you know, it was either the Valium or maybe I could just strap him on top, you know, like the Christmas tree.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
What if he sat in the back seat right behind you and he did the waving?
No one would see him, you know, and it's an automatic thing. I mean, I...
What if he hung his head out the window like a dog?
Like the dog?
So now you mentioned that when he drives, you get white knuckles. What does he do that makes you nervous?
Oh, well, to me, you know, I anticipate the road ahead, and I don't have to wait until I get around the curve in order to slow down.
Yeah.
You know, and out here, you know, you could have a cow on the other side of the road, you know, on the other side of the curve.
Yeah.
So I'm normally the designated driver.
Yeah.
Also, when the two of you are in the car, you do the driving.
Right, most of the time.
Because even though he thinks that you are reckless, he, in fact, is reckless.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yes. See, I don't think we're going to resolve this, but I think you guys need to take separate cars.
Yeah.
And then you can do all the wave, you know, have him go ahead,
yeah,
and you be the car behind, and you can do all the waving you want.
You know, I always drive with both hands on the wheel. You know, you can have a three-finger wave, you know, real easy, you know, and it doesn't have to distract from the road or what you're doing or anything, and everybody else waves back.
Well,
you know,
he intimated that you were waving like a lunatic.
Yeah. Well, I figured that was my answer to road rage. You know, if more people waved, then you wouldn't have all of this,
not bad,
this anger on the road.
Well, I agree with that, certainly. And we told them to lighten up, and I guess we're going to stick with that. We're
right
with you, Jan.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Benelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchred. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Kira McKnight. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Vale Ale, Kale, Snail, Quail, and Lobster Tail Lunch Pail, is John Bugsy Lawler.
Where is he?
He just walked in the door. Just in time.
For what? Lunch.
Public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bun Tugley. Our parts inventory manager is Wayne DeBack. Our tolerance quality control guy is Nat Sass. Our rafting guide is Euphrates Rapids. Our puzzler tester is Otis S. Hard. Our inventory manager is Clarence Rack. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is O. Tekashawa. Our auto seat tester is Fitz Matush. Our airline seat tester is Wilma Buttfit. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our staff tailor is Yu Jass. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the caroling pickpockets in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
Oh, one other thing.
Yes.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1152, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, it's holiday travel season.
That's right, so we urge you to read our carefully thought out winter driving tips before it's too late.
Before it's too late for what?
Well, too late to escape from your mother-in-law's once your car breaks down.
Heaven forfend!
Yeah, read our tips for helping you and your car survive the winter right now over at cartalk.com. Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Quick Lane Tire and Auto Centers, providing service for cars and trucks without an appointment, including evenings and weekends. Details at quicklane.com. And
the Skoll Foundation, supporting social entrepreneurs and their innovations to solve the world's most pressing problems at skoll.org. And
the Charles Hotel in Harvard Square,
whose Corbu Spa and Salon features ingredients handpicked from the hotel's gardens
at corbuspa.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Santa Claus regrets opting for satellite radio in his new sleigh whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
This is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule for all of our program channels and listen to any of them live online at WPLN.org.